Welcome to That Doesn't Work Anymore, the digital marketing podcast by Ad3. When you're looking to stand out online, the rules are ever changing and yesterday's strategies just won't cut it. Each episode, we'll tap into the brains of our in-house marketing experts, peeling back the layers of the latest trends, tactics and strategies in 2024. But it's not just about what works, we're here to uncover what doesn't. Let's face it, in this fast-paced digital world, your business might be pouring valuable resources down the drain on outdated approaches. We'll reveal the pitfalls so you can save both time and energy for what truly matters. So buckle up, get ready to deep dive, and let's kick off the show that will revolutionise your approach to digital marketing. Welcome to That Doesn't Work Anymore.
Welcome back for another episode of That Doesn't Work Anymore, presented by Ad3. Today, we continue our Ad3 Connect CTV strategy series, where we speak with key leaders from CTV DSPs across the industry. I'm your host, Chris Barr, and today I'm joined by John Ferraro from The Trade Desk. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing great, Chris. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. It's been a little while. Why don't we just start off by you telling us a little bit about yourself, The Trade Desk, and what your role is there?
Sure. As you mentioned, name's John Ferraro. I am the GM of Business Development at The Trade Desk. I've been with the company for the past 4 years, and this is DSP number 3 for me. So been in the ad tech space for a long time. Trade Desk, if you're not familiar, is one of the largest independent demand side platforms out there. So we have a software platform that we enable advertisers and ad agencies to run digital media campaigns across all channels, from desktop display to connected television in the largest screen in the living room.
Yeah, and we at Ad3 are very familiar with Trade Desk. Even myself, before I worked at Ad3, worked with Trade Desk. So I think I've probably worked with Trade Desk in some capacity for the last 7 years, maybe. So yeah, it's been a good ride. But
we appreciate it.
Yeah, so really looking forward to getting into our discussion about CTV today. CTV is something that I think everyone in the industry knows about. Most people use CTV, but there are a lot of nuances to it that I don't think everyone's really aware of. So really want to unpack that from the DSP expert perspective. So to get started off with programmatic, of course, targeting is a huge part of what we do, really from contextual and behavioral standpoints. We have great tools to reach people where we think they're going to be and reach the right people. But with CTV specifically, inventory is a massive piece of it. You want to make sure that you're running where your customers actually are. So I do have some questions about inventory. Really to start off, what insights can you share on the effectiveness of using pre-negotiated inventory versus going direct and securing private marketplace deals? And how does this choice impact campaign agility and client return on investment?
Yeah, great. I guess I'll start by saying at The Trade Desk, we have hundreds, literally hundreds of pre-negotiated publisher and network deals available for activation in our PMP library within the platform. And the primary reason that we do this is to allow our clients to literally press the easy button and activate their CTV campaigns quickly and efficiently. I think you have to remember that we have clients that literally run the gamut from a size and resource perspective, meaning we work with the largest brands and holding companies in the world, as well as independent ad agencies that are all of 2 to 3 total people in some cases. So as you can probably imagine, the ability to go publisher direct and negotiate custom deals for your agency and advertisers is directly correlated to the amount of resources and bandwidth that you have at your disposal. And since not everybody has the ability to do that, we take the initiative and do some of the legwork on their behalf. Now, that all said, we have these deals available for convenience and ease of use, but this doesn't mean that you couldn't negotiate a better deal for yourself if you negotiated directly with the publishers and networks. So typically, by making some sort of financial spend commitment when you're negotiating a custom PMP deal, you'll in most cases be able to garner a lower CPM than what might be in platform. In terms of campaign agility that you mentioned and client ROI, it stands to reason that if you could negotiate a CPM that was, let's say, 10% lower and you were able to run 10% more impressions, you'd think your ROI should be roughly 10% better as well. I mean, I guess I'll caveat that with, like all things in programmatic. There are so many more variables than price that tie to performance. But that said, if you do have the knowledge, bandwidth, and resources to negotiate directly with the inventory sources, that is typically in your best interest as an agency or advertiser, and something that we recommend to most of our clients.
From our perspective, in order for us to stay nimble, it is great having just the ease of use of some of the deals that are, you know, right off the shelf. We can just activate very easily. I know one way we've looked at it just from the agency side, because there are so many good premium publishers that you can purchase inventory from right off the shelf. But where it gets difficult is really narrowing down who are the best for your customer. And so sometimes from our perspective, it's nice to start with some of the pre-negotiated stuff. And then once you've been running for a little bit, understand what works best and then really narrow in on the publishers you like. And at that point, then you can negotiate those better deals, like you said, and with the lower CPMs, or even, I know something you didn't mention, locking in inventory in really competitive times of the year, that can go a long way. But it is great to have that option just to activate right off the bat in the pre-negotiated deals before doing something more specific.
And I think that's the right approach, right? Because why would you want to spend time, effort, and energy and negotiate a custom deal with a publisher or network that might not be, you know, that advantageous for the particular advertiser at hand? So to be able to test really easily and then go lean in on the half a dozen networks that are working the best for you makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, definitely. Because from our perspective, it's funny, and I'm sure you see a little bit of this too, when we're talking to clients about, you know, running a CTV campaign or OTT campaign, for the most part, there doesn't seem to be a ton of preference on what publishers we run with off the bat. However, the one name that everyone mentions is Hulu. Everyone wants to run on Hulu because I think everyone, for the most part, uses Hulu. But beyond that, I think that they really look to us to determine what are the best publishers that, you know, for their brand. So when we're actually looking at these different inventory sources, such as Hulu or Pluto or Paramount, what factors should advertisers and agencies consider to ensure that their messaging resonates across these different platforms?
Yeah, that's to me, a super interesting question, right? Because as a brand or an agency marketer, I think the first thing that you have to be super clear on when formulating your CTV strategy is if you actually care that there are diverse inventory sources, meaning that if the end goal of buying CTV programmatically is to find your target audience, no matter the show, the network, or the streaming provider, do you actually care if the ad is seen on a Pluto versus a Hulu versus a Peacock or an ESPN? So that's the first thing that you have to kind of just get set on. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that you do have an advertiser that does really care about, quote unquote, the quality of the network or streaming provider that they're running on. So for those folks that do care about that, it's a different story. And I think it starts with what you as the advertiser deem high quality versus mid quality versus low quality. At the Trade Desk, we have a couple tools built into the platform that help our clients find the inventory that they're looking for. The first is something relatively new that was built as we are rolling out our new platform called Kokai, and it's called the S&P 500 Plus, and it's where S&P stands for sellers and publishers. And the sellers and publishers 500 Plus is the most effective way to buy high quality inventory on the open internet curated by the Trade Desk. The list of publishers is derived from the open market, as well as deals negotiated by the Trade Desk for CTV, and it ensures you're running on the best of the best. The other tool that's really interesting in our platform is called TVQI, or Television Quality Index. And simply put, TVQI is a measure that quantifies the quality of CTV and video impressions. And what that means at a really high level is that we're rating, one, the quality of the content, so think content score; two, the quality of the ad experience, so think video playback type, device type; and three, the quality of the signals, think duration, market type, addressability. But again, to me, in relation to your question of how to ensure a message resonates, it's about putting the message in front of a person where it actually has timeliness and relevance. So you can put that beautiful Audi commercial for the A8 in front of me, but if I had just bought a BMW 3 weeks ago, that ad doesn't resonate at all, right? Doesn't matter if it's on Pluto or Hulu. So I think that's first and foremost, just to making sure you're hitting the people that are in market or potentially interested in whatever product you're promoting.
Yeah, definitely. And CTV is a difficult channel sometimes to really quantify success in. I think anecdotally, a lot of us understand the value of, first of all, TV ads, and then what we're talking about today, CTV and OTT. At least for me, those are the ads that I remember the most. So from that perspective, I can say myself, those are the ads that have the most effect on me. But with things like you mentioned with the TV quality index, that goes some way to actually understand from the advertiser and agency perspective, did people actually resonate with this ad? But going a bit further, again, this is an environment that unless someone's closing the app or changing the channel, they're watching 100% of your video ad view. So typical metrics like video completion rate really don't matter here. It's expected that you're going to get a completed ad. So outside of using typical video metrics and outside of the TV quality index, what other approaches does Trade Desk recommend in terms of measuring success for a CTV campaign?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So many different ways to go here. I guess I'll start by saying that measurement is so fundamental to everything we do at the Trade Desk. We firmly believe that data should be applied to every impression served, regardless of channel, and that measurement should be applied to every campaign on the back end. And just because you're in a non-clickable video environment, it doesn't mean you can't have robust measurement in play. We approach this from several angles. First, many advertisers are using CTV and video for their upper funnel strategies. And in many cases, this is intended as what a lot of people like to refer to as brand building in terms of a brand building tactic. And as such, one great measurement option around this would be to leverage a brand lift study. And with our platform, while you can use many third parties to do this, i.e. a Kantar Millward Brown, we do have a brand lift option built right into the platform with Lucid. And the big benefit of using Lucid within the TTT platform is twofold. One, you eliminate the long time that it usually takes to get results. With Lucid, you actually start seeing data in under a week, typically, which is a game changer. And two, more importantly, in my opinion, you can actually optimize towards lift in flight, something that was not an option for our clients until we did this integration. I think another great measurement option for advertisers that have physical locations is to do footfall measurement and measure traffic going to store. We have integrations with several companies that do this for our partners. I'd say the most prevalent still is probably a Foursquare. And then last, and I think this is what's really, I think, emerging as what kind of the new gold standard of measurement for our clients is, and that is we allow our clients to see what we call the entire path to conversion. So if we are serving, let's say, ad number one on a CTV device in the living room, we can actually look at every touch point from that first impression to a final conversion event across every channel. And it's really becoming illustrative that CTV actually can help with performance. It does not have to be strictly an upper funnel tactic. So when you use CTV in conjunction with player event retargeting, so somebody has seen a CTV ad and you can target them with other channels, sometimes less expensive channels, you are doing two things. You are raising the overall conversion rate and you are shortening the time to convert. And that I think has been really interesting to see that evolve in terms of people not thinking CTV could be performant, and it actually can.
Yeah, thank you. Lots to unpack there. And I think when we can, like as advertisers, you know, maybe the next question would be like, so if you have all these measurement options, which one do you decide on? From my perspective, I think any of these that you can apply to a campaign, they don't really conflict with each other and really just help enrich like the data that you can get from a campaign like that. So while off the bat, you know, if we're able to put pixels down, we're getting view through conversions from CTV. But in addition to that, what you mentioned about the conversion paths, I think that's so important, especially in light of the deprecation of the third-party cookie. It's been more difficult to track things like that through a third-party ad server like SAM360. So if you have everything housed in one platform like the Trade Desk, it is extremely valuable to see what that path is, because we theorize and work against these theories with clients that, hey, all of these channels work in concert with one another, but being able to actually show that they do is massive, because that's what, you know, if the theory wins us the business, it's actually showing that path that helps us keep the business. So that's super valuable.
The other thing, Chris, I should have mentioned, and you guys know this really well, being so versed in this world of search, is that we can actually show the lift of search that your CTV campaign contributed to. So through some UTM mappings, we can kind of show the efficacy that your programmatic buys are actually creating search lift on the back end. And that's something that a bunch of our clients find super valuable as well.
Yeah. And that's super valuable from our end, again, in terms of keeping the business. Because I think sometimes, right or wrong, because decisions need to be made sometimes from the client side, when they are looking at making things more efficient, what happens is you look at cost pers and, you know, cost per conversion, and CTV on its own is not really going to hold a candle to search. But if you can say like, hey, we can actually show you directly how CTV and these awareness channels influence your search, that's pretty powerful from our end, because it just gives an insight that they didn't really have before. Again, I think it's something everyone understands, that a full funnel approach is super effective and really the way you want to go with a digital advertising campaign, but be able to actually show that that works is huge for us. So moving on from measurement, there's something I did want to move on to, especially in light of things like the Olympics coming up later this year. Tentpole events have always been something pretty massive when it comes to any sort of video advertising with traditional TV, as well as CTV and OTT. And from the agency perspective, I think I see clients landing on one of two sides with this. They're either shy and stay away from it because they're worried about the increase of prices during an event like that, or they look at it the other way as an opportunity to reach a captive audience when more people are all watching one program or one event. So I'm just curious about the Trade Desk perspective on tentpole events. Do you guys view these as high impact periods that really advertisers should be leaning into? Or is there a little bit more consideration that's required from the advertiser side on whether or not they should actually participate and run alongside an event like the Olympics?
Yeah, great question. I think this is one of the more interesting evolutions in the CTV space, just the access to live sports that is better than it's ever been before. When it comes to tentpole specifically, like you asked, for me, this is definitely not an either or proposition. And while I would never advocate that an advertiser only run CTV during tentpole events in short bursts, tentpole events can be a great bolster to a more evergreen focused CTV strategy. Tentpole events can be even more powerful, I think, when they align with certain promotional periods that will naturally garner an increase in spend over a short period of time. So think about like that, you know, Memorial Day sale that lines up with, you know, whatever big sporting event that comes around during that time. If you're a national marketer interested in tentpole events, I think it's important to keep in mind that you still need to strike a balance between reach and precision, meaning that while access is no longer an issue in terms of being able to access the most watched live events programmatically with CTV, to achieve mass reach with these events, you still need a linear component as well. That said, what I think is the coolest thing, however, as I've watched these amazing events unfold over the years, is that a local or regional advertiser can put commercials into events like the Masters, March Madness, and now even the Olympics. With our newly announced partnership with NBC, you can now run commercials programmatically in the Olympics via the Trade Desk. And, you know, previously the barrier to entry into the Olympics was a seven-figure proposition. And now our agency partners can offer their local and regional advertisers access to the most premium sporting event on the planet without the need for million-dollar budgets. And, you know, in my opinion, that's pretty damn cool.
I think so too. And I almost feel like it's a, you know, some people when they start a brand, like their dream is to have a billboard downtown that they can point to and say like, hey, that's my ad, that's my company. But with something like the Olympics that's reaching such a wide audience, not only should that feel pretty cool for your brand to run along something like that, but it seems like practically though too, it is just a great opportunity to reach a lot of people all at once. So beyond the novelty, it seems like there is a lot of value to running in an event like that. There is one comment you made that brings me to something, and this kind of goes back into measurement a little bit, but I think if the hesitation on tentpole events is the increase of price, then the other side would be, okay, well, is that increase in price worth the ROI? And you made a comment about maybe not necessarily only running on tentpole events, but making it a part of your strategy. And I just kind of wonder if you can talk a little bit about the importance of maybe running a campaign prior to a tentpole event and after to sort of establish a baseline before you do run along an event like that that's, you know, outside of the norm of your daily CTV campaign.
Yeah. And I think I would say, you know, why would you want to run in a tentpole event for the sake of it? I mean, obviously there's the ego thing of, hey, I saw my commercial in March Madness and I'm a huge college basketball fan. But when you're thinking about a holistic marketing strategy, I mean, first and foremost, that has to line up with like what your brand is trying to accomplish. And again, to what you just said, if you're not planting a seed in a consumer's mind leading up to that and then reminding them post fact that, you know, you are still here and around and you have a product or a service that might be of interest to somebody, I think that's kind of wasted money. So you do have to think about it from a, like, what does that customer journey look like? What does the singular tentpole event do for you in terms of potentially getting new eyeballs to understand that your product or service exists, but then what are you doing after that to drive things from, you know, upper funnel to mid funnel consideration phase down to lower funnel and looking at whatever that conversion event you're trying to drive.
Yeah, definitely. And having that baseline is so crucial and just allowing advertisers to understand like the comparative lift of running with something like that. And we see this a lot with, without naming any names, with advertisers who you know, maybe don't allow you to pixel site too. And so you do need to establish a baseline. What is a traditional, or not, I'll use a different word. What's your standard, you know, traffic and lift on a site versus when you activate on a big tentpole event like this?
And then the last thing I think that I failed to mention that, you know, what a tentpole event can accomplish is you have those very light TV viewers that only come out and watch the screen during certain events, be them sporting or the Academy Awards or something like that. So when you're talking about the ability to truly reach net new eyeballs, that sometimes is one of the few ways you can do that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, just thinking about Olympics and thinking about, you know, my wife or other family members who really don't care about sports generally, but when the Olympics come around, they do, because everyone does. So everyone's watching that, whether you're a sports enthusiast or not. It's a big event, and it's usually a group event where you get people together. So it's a great opportunity to get a lot more eyeballs on your ads. Well, moving on, we have talked about measurement and inventory up to this point. I think we've given our listeners a good understanding of how we measure things and try to really understand, are we activating in the right way? But while campaigns are going on, we want to use that measurement to really move our campaigns forward. So I want to talk a little bit about optimization strategies. What optimization strategies have you found most effective in driving campaign success within CTV and OTT, and especially when traditional metrics are not the main focus?
Yeah, you know, traditional measures, not the main focus, but as we talked about, there are a lot of different ways to measure success of a CTV campaign. And when we think about optimization strategies, I think like so many other things in our ecosystem, super highly dependent on what the goals of the campaign are. If the goal is reach, we're going to optimize towards a metric like cost per unique household. If it's a more ROAS-based or conversion-based goal, there are so many levers to pull. We would typically start by cutting underperforming publishers and networks. From there, we might look towards optimizing to device type, meaning if this is OTT, right? So you're running CTV device in the living room, but you're also running on, you know, like full episodic players on your phone, tablet, or PC. If multiple creatives are in play, we might look to eliminate the weakest performing ads from that perspective. Most likely, we have multiple targeting tactics, so we would heavy up on the most efficient of those. We can look at time of day, day of week, and geography from a performance perspective and optimize that way. I mean, literally, I could probably keep going and going. It's really ad nauseum as to the levers you can pull. And, you know, in our platform, I think we truly believe in the human plus machine element of optimization. So it's using human intuition, testing hypotheses, and then also letting our AI built into the platform surface recommendations or actually do optimizations on your behalf in some cases. So while I wouldn't say the optimization options are limitless, there typically are a ton of different levers to be pulled to drive better performance.
I think one part I want to unpack there is the creative piece, because one thing we really try to harp on and really focus on with clients is providing creative versioning so we actually can understand like what types of messages resonate best with audiences. And with something like display or online video, I think that's a lot easier to figure out. Is someone clicking on version A more than version B? Or with online video, which ads are they, you know, depending on your goal, are they watching the full video with this version, or maybe are they clicking more often depending on your goal? With CTV, we've already talked about it. It can't be clicked. It's going to be watched in completion. So what optimization strategies do you typically see at the creative level for OTT and CTV?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. It's not as quick in real time as it can be with some other channels. So typically you are doing a reconciliation at the end of a given month or the end of a campaign or at the minimum quarterly. It's also a little dependent on what that consumer purchase cycle looks like. So it gets even more difficult if you're talking about a super long consideration phase. But as I mentioned a while back, in terms of like the path to conversion, you can actually start to reconcile which CTV ads are driving more conversions down funnel. It just takes a little bit more time.
Yeah, that's a great call out. Still being able to see those view through conversions is huge for it. And I think one thing from our perspective that I'll also add is looking at brand lift against the different creatives as well. If you do have certain goals and you're trying to look at maybe ad recall, can be a great metric for which ads are actually staying in the minds of your viewers more beyond just the conversion. Last question here. It's a little bit bigger one. I want to just kind of get your opinion and Trade Desk's opinion on the big picture. So given your knowledge and experience in the CTV and OTT space, what trends are you seeing in this channel and how do you see it developing over, let's just say, the next 2 to 5 years? If you want to play with that timeline a little bit, you can, because it is a little bit ambiguous. But what are you most excited about and what do you see as the biggest challenges in the space?
Yeah, I'll touch on three things here. One is the continued evolution of what we've seen from the upfronts. So you go back a few years and, you know, your big brands that participated in the upfronts, the networks did not make it easy to activate those commitments programmatically. Each year that has gone by over the last three, we've seen more and more flexibility by the networks. And I think it's just the natural evolution of the world we live in, right? Where eyeballs are shifting, consumption behaviors are changing. It's becoming harder and harder to fulfill multi-million dollar upfront commitments solely on linear. So a little bit of their hand has been forced. But at the same time, I think it took some networks a little while to realize that when you can apply really robust data against CTV impressions, it actually can drive a more premium CPM. So they're also seeing the financial benefit of allowing flexibility to their advertisers to activate those commitments, however it makes sense for the individual advertiser. So I think we'll see that evolution continue and that you'll see more upfront commits being activated through the DSP of the marketer's choice. The second thing is we are just at a really interesting place as it pertains to live sports. We have talked about this a lot at the Trade Desk in industry events and that sort of thing. it is not an exaggeration to say the only thing you cannot buy programmatically today is in-game Super Bowl. And that obviously with our Olympics partnership with NBC changed that to be just the Super Bowl that you cannot buy programmatically. And 2 to 5, I guarantee that we see that change happen as well. And the final thing that I'm really interested to see how it unfolds is we recently announced a partnership with Comscore for local CTV measurement. So this is really like hot off the press. We announced this a couple months ago. We should be live with some early campaigns in the next month or two. And I think there's just been such an inherent kind of bias towards national activations and measurement for so long. To give a regional and local advertiser the ability to do some really robust measurement things from a CTV perspective on a local basis is super interesting. And what's even more interesting is when you think about this product will allow people to tie national measurement to a single DMA. So if you think about, let's use a car brand as the use case here, which I think is amazing. You can tie your tier one national efforts to your tier two regional efforts to your tier three local dealership efforts. And that's pretty unprecedented. And I'm just excited to see how that plays out.
Yeah. And I think that's massive because you do have a lot of national brands who are still very interested and concerned with more regional lift and metrics. And then even beyond that, like, you know, at Ad3, we work with a lot of regional brands, whether they just be Washington-based brands or the Pacific Northwest. Those companies too, they may not be as big, but they're just as interested in something like CTV, and they, just like a big national brand, they want to be able to measure it. And then oftentimes they have a little less budget. So getting that measurement behind it and really justifying the cost of their budget is massive for them.
Yeah. And hopefully that helps you guys with what I know is a challenge when you're dealing with a local advertiser. It's hard for them to get off of like click-through rate as the metric because it's the one thing that's tangible to them. And we all know that that's probably not the best way to, you know, gauge campaign success. So to introduce them to sophisticated forms of measurement that aren't a crazy complex lift, I think only helps your guys' cause as to being able to help their business, you know, more efficiently and more effectively.
Oh, I agree. With the smaller businesses who have smaller budgets, every dollar counts even more than a larger brand. And a lot of them, I mean, I think sometimes just things in the industry move a little bit slowly, and you can't fault anyone for really looking at like metrics like a cost per. That's what they're used to from the digital standpoint. They're used to search and social, where you can really back a lot of that, especially in search, into those cost pers. But you know, they know that they want to run more awareness through programmatic. The hard thing is justifying the spend. So the more that we can do to actually help them justify to their finance department or whoever's making the decisions at the smaller companies, the better off we all are.
Yeah, completely agree.
Thanks, John. Those are all the questions I had for today. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast today. It's great talking to you and getting your insight. Hopefully I have you back again at some point.
Fantastic. Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris. This was fun.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of That Doesn't Work Anymore. If any of the topics we explored today left you hungry for more, reach out to us at ad3.com/contact. Stay tuned because we're gearing up for another exciting episode of That Doesn't Work Anymore. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, keep innovating and keep rocking that digital marketing game.